is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
It's never too early to start thinking of the next family vacation, but the usual problem always remains. Visit the same place year after year, or enjoy a truly unique experience in the mountains of northern New Jersey. The Great Divide Campground has been serving camping enthusiasts for over 50 years, maintaining the idea of camping, just refining it each and every year. Guests are able to bask in the sun and fun of the scenic Appalachian Mountains by day and take in the moonlight by night. The Great Divide Campground features full events calendar with live music, a lake for fishing and boating, and a brand new playground for the kids. The Great Divide Campground has fully furnished air-conditioned cabin rentals available with plenty to do or not to do, depending on your idea of a vacation. The Great Divide Campground is less than an hour away from Newton, New Jersey. More information available online at campthegreatdivide.com or by phone at 973-383-4026. 973-383-4026. The Great Divide Campground, just a stone's throw away from the city.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also, I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you with us today. We have a great show coming up here for everybody. We're going to start off with a question that was sent in by a mom. She's going to be getting married next August, and she has a four-year-old that has autism who will be 5 years old. And she's not sure if he'll be good at the reception, and she was wondering if it's too much for people, for him in a crowd to be overstimulated. And she asked if she should find a babysitter, what should she do, and she obviously wants him to be there through the ceremony. And she don't even know how he'll do with that. And a lot of people, you know, will be there and he'll have to try to sit. He was nonverbal, so he doesn't speak at all, she says. And she wanted to know some of our listeners' opinions.
Uh-huh. Hi, this is Sarah Gonzalez calling from Fever Falls, Minnesota. I have a question. I'll be getting married next year in August, and I have a four-year-old that has autism. So he'll be 5 years old then. I don't think he'll do good at the reception. It will be too much people, and it will cause him to be overstimulated. Should I find a babysitter? What should I do? I want him to be there through the ceremony, and I don't even know how he will do with that, with a lot of people being able to sit down. He's nonverbal, and he doesn't speak at all. Can you let me know your opinions? That would be great. Thank you.
So, one of the opinions that Sarah, somebody wrote in about, you know, getting somebody from maybe your local school who has, you know, experience as an aide, possibly be with your child for the day so that he can attend the ceremony, and also be able to take him home, you know, if it need be, because it may be too much. But I just think that this is a great thing that you want him to be a part of. That was one of the listeners wrote in, Lynn. And I know, Lynn, you had some doings with this question as well.
Yeah, somebody said maybe they can have, they have the rehearsal dinner before the wedding, and they can work with the child, explain, even though he's nonverbal, maybe just go over what's going to happen and the scenario ahead of time, practice it, and maybe have the person who's, you know, maybe a babysitter or a relative next to him, you know. And it's, I think if the more that you practice it and the more that they go over the routine with the child, the better off the child will be. I don't know if the child is going to be sitting for the or standing for the for the ceremony, but definitely the mom sounded like she wanted to have the child be part of the ceremony. So that was some of the suggestions, was maybe have them at school or at home go over the whole ceremony, go over the whole practice, and see, you know, how well he does. As far as the, I would think that would be more important to this particular family than the reception necessarily, which is going to be very overwhelming and overstimulating. And, you know, he may do well for part of it, like you said, or, you know, he may have to go home or be taken aside. And you can always assign a relative to also who might be willing to help out, you know, and be able to just take him in and out of the room as necessary.
Right. I mean, you know, you just need to have a plan. I think that's the key.
Right.
Is to have a plan. If you can do some kind of mock ceremony ahead of time, it would probably be better just to kind of get maybe familiar with the surroundings. Maybe they can bring the child even ahead of time to the church or wherever they're having this ceremony, just to kind of, you know, kind of do like a walkthrough almost, and maybe get the child a little familiar with the area. You know, this is a major event, and I think, too, Lynn, you know, it is her wedding. So I think it comes down to what she wants.
Right.
Let's be honest. She's the bride. It's her day, as we always say. The guys just kind of show up.
And, but, well, that's
no, but you know what I'm saying. I mean,
I think also it sounded like from the letter that she did want her son to be a part of the ceremony. So I think if it's that important to her to have him be part of the ceremony, then she should try to make that happen. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the relatives should be, maybe she can even make them aware of the situation ahead of time. And if he does act on it a little bit or whatever, I mean, you know, he's also only 4 years old, so you can't expect a four-year-old to sit perfectly still
and quiet
in a ceremony like that anyway, you know. If he gets to the point where he's really, like you said, overstimulated, then, you know, you have to take him out. But sometimes they have programs where they can work on behaviorally, like sit quiet or stand quiet for this amount of time. They kind of try to increase the time. I don't know if you're aware, like if you've ever been exposed to that. But I know people who have, you know, done that and have been successful, like starting a few weeks maybe before the ceremony. Let's try to work on this, you know, let's do this and do this for this amount of time and see how long he can go, and start increasing the amount of time where he can sit still or, you know, be quiet for that amount of time. Or maybe just, you know, the amount of time that she needs for the ceremony. And that might be enough.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, I don't know what her intention is, just to have him at the ceremony or to have him for the whole event, which if it's the whole event, it's probably too long,
Long. Yeah, that's hard.
I mean, I think, you know, maybe have him at the beginning of this, you know, have him at the ceremony and maybe at the beginning of the reception. And then usually, you know, most children, I know I went to my aunt's, we were actually a ring bearer, I guess, or my brother was a ring bearer and I was... I don't even remember, but I was part of her wedding, and we were in the pictures at the reception, and then once that was over, we went home. We were taken out of there.
So, I remember my sister had my niece was just born right after I got married. She's only like 8 months old, so they barely had her in the reception area. Because it just, you know, it's too much for a baby, and, you know, they had a babysitter, they hired somebody for the day. So even with typical kids, it's just a lot, you know, they get, especially if it's a big crowd of people. I don't know how big this woman's.
Right. I mean, you know, obviously we need a few more details, but,
right.
But just to give you an idea, like I said, it is her day. And I think, you know, if it's important for her, I think you should be there. And like I said, you can do a few things, like I said, to prepare him for that day and, you know, work on it. And I think they'll do well.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's her son. So that's my opinion. And we actually have a clip which we'll be playing. The mom herself called in, actually. So we'll try to play that clip for you later in the show.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that was a few opinions that were written into us about that topic. You know, like I said, ultimately it's her day. So. Well, I guess we'll follow up with her to see what she decides next year. So she's got quite a ways yet, so it's almost a whole year away. But I think it's a great question, and we thank her for writing in and calling in the program. Lynn, we want to talk about this really hot topic right now, which one of the biggest shows ever on TV for kids called Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
Sesame Street just announced a major help to de-stigmatize the topic of autism, which affects, obviously we know, 1 out of 55 children in America today. And they just introduced a new character to give those children a voice. The longtime running nonprofit educational organized, they recently did a press release saying that Sesame Street will be casting Julia, who's a preschool girl with autism who just does things a little differently. And when playing with her friends, and also the lovable Elmo, Abby, Cadbury, and Grover. And she's going to debut in a new online storybook called We're Amazing 1-2-3. So we're really exciting to announce that and talk about it a little bit, Lynn.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think Sesame Street has always been one of, as far back as even when we were young, always inclusive of different people of different races, people of different ethnicities, different religions, just an all-inclusive. And they were one of the first ones to do the disabled children on the show. And adding a character with is a great awareness, and we should be really happy about this. I think this is a great thing for our community.
Absolutely. I mean, Sesame Street, to me, doesn't do it better than anybody. I mean, nobody does it better than them, I should say.
Definitely not. Definitely
I mean, they handle lately in the last 10 years especially, but even when I was a child, growing up with Sesame Street, not only from an educational standpoint, I mean, we learned our ABCs and our 1-2-3s and a lot of other valuable information right on Sesame Street, but also talked a lot about a lot of social issues.
Right.
And it taught us, you know, how to react to certain situations, whether it was a stranger. I remember as a kid growing up, there was an episode on Sesame Street that talked about strangers, don't talk to strangers. And they would do a whole scenario on that situation, you know, being a child and dealing with a stranger that approaches you that may not have the best intentions.
Right.
So there's just a lot of really good topics. And now, of course, you know, there's a lot more challenges in today's world today. And they cover a lot of wide, vast topics on the show now.
Yeah, a lot of like safety, like you said, safety issues. I know we have like and going to the doctor and all those things. You know, they tackle a lot of issues, and these are issues that are very important. And some parents don't have the time, don't sit down with the children and cover these topics. So it is, and introducing a young child to autism, I think, is one of the best things that you can do. Is teaching a child that not everybody's the same, everybody plays differently, and sort of including an autistic child in part of their world is great. You know, I think that's really important that they don't ostracize a child for being different. So to me, this was a very exciting thing, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, definitely, you know, like I said, Sesame Street is the pioneer show for kids. I mean, let's face it, they're way above and beyond anything out there. I mean, Disney's strong. I mean, I'm not taking anything from Disney, but every kid has grown up with Sesame Street.
Well, the thing that's weird now, I don't know if you know, but PBS used to be the ones that, you know, had Sesame Street on air. Now
yes.
They're not
yep.
on PBS anymore.
Well, they are, but they're running old episodes. What's happening now
is
HBO is now taking that over, and all the new episodes are now going to be on HBO, which... When I heard that news, I was exactly your same response. I was sad.
Yeah.
I was a little, not just sad, but I was a little mad about that, actually. Because
yeah, I don't understand.
That
don't
was one
happens.
Of the few free
the
programs.
That they need for the programming.
Well, I guess that's what it is. And, you know, HBO is a paid TV.
But I know that we had taped for our kids Sesame Street, and we can't even find the old. I mean, they're not even the old episodes. We also used to tape the show Play With Me Sesame, which I don't know if you know. It was like a few characters. It's not as long as the full Sesame Street. Maybe that was always a cable thing. I don't know. But my kids always enjoyed that because it was very simple and short and had a lot of music and stuff. So, but what came to mind to me actually, too, with this, with, you know, the fact that we're, you know, increasing awareness every day about autism, which is great. I had recently somebody come to me who told me that, believe it or not, this is now 2015 we're in, and we've come a long way, but believe it or not, this person went to the doctor, was telling the doctor that she, or somebody in the office, that she has a relative on the spectrum, and the person said, autism? And they said, what is autism? What is autism? And this person was like shocked that this other person had no clue in today's world what autism is. I mean, yes, it's rare, but we still have, like I said, I think you can never have enough awareness. We have to keep going. We have to keep pushing those envelopes and saying, you know, keep what we're doing is keep talking about it. And I think, you know, again, this is a great way to do it, through the media like we do and on TV and all that stuff. But it's just interesting that you think people know and you think everybody's aware, but still, there are still people that are not aware. You know, there's still a lot of ignorance out there about it. You know,
they're
not.
That's very true.
Whatever. So that was just shocking to me.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. We also talk about that, but also a lot of the ethnic groups. You know, unfortunately, a lot of them don't have all the literature. They may not even, you know, have much vocabulary with English or be able to read English.
Right.
And there's not a lot of materials that are available in other languages either to also help spread awareness to other ethnic groups. And I know that was something that we did, Autism Radio, whether you knew this or not. But our website was created right off the bat in Google Translate. So basically, it's available in every language. And it's funny because we have a ton of followers in Russia, you know, in countries like South America, you know, all over different parts of the world. And, you know, it's interesting because they're trying to get information on autism and there's not enough information out there. I mean, we have a ton of information here in the U.S. in English and even in Spanish now is more readily available now, too. But other languages, not so much.
And actually, too, the services, when I had originally, you know, spoken about autism and made some friends, a lot of people I spoke with were in the UK. And it was, even in the UK, it's really frowned upon. They still have a lot of awareness to go. The kids are rooms and locked. It's sad in a way. I mean, I don't think they have it as accepted as it is here in the U.S. in these other countries. I know some parents who were born in other countries, they just don't get it. You know, the grandparents or the parents are embarrassed. They don't want the kids to leave the house. They don't want, you know, you always have that, which is sad. It really is sad, you know, that these kids are not going to get the programs that are available here because the parents don't want to accept it. You know, I hear that a lot from other people of different cultures, and that's sad to me.
Yeah. No, well, you know, I know, like, we talk about Sesame Street, we were talking about, you know, is available in many other languages in other parts of the country,
that's
too.
That's true, yeah. True.
And here in the U.S. alone, Sesame Street, there's over 1.5 million families watch Sesame Street every week.
Right.
But also, I want to let people know, almost everybody out there today has an iPad, pretty much, or an iPod nowadays, but they have a app, actually, Sesame Street and Autism. You can go to autism.sesamestreet.org, and it has a lot of guides on there to help simplify many activities and overcome a lot of common challenges that autistic children face, such as just washing their hands, brushing teeth, going to the supermarket, and a lot of bedtime routines. So there's a lot of great information that Sesame Street is actually putting out there in a very user-friendly format that captures children's attention, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Because I know my son, he watches Sesame Street religiously every day. He loves it.
Oh, mine too, yeah.
So you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it just captivates them, the characters, and especially Elmo. Elmo always has the biggest effect.
I don't know what it is. We were saying it's the repetition with Elmo, too. It's always the same thing every day. You know, the same routine with Elmo.
It's funny, I didn't have Elmo as a kid. He didn't exist.
No, we didn't have Elmo, but I'm just saying for our kids, it's, you know, the same. If you watch it, it's the same. He's like 20 minutes at the end of the show, and it's the same routine every day, you know.
And maybe that's it. Maybe that's the key, is because it is a consistent routine.
You know, and the song, obviously, you know.
Right, absolutely.
It's, you know, and his voice. I mean, his voice, I remember, you know, when my kids, when they were young, some of the parents were like, oh, I can't take that voice anymore.
Right.
But he is really lovable, though. You know, he is really lovable.
Oh, who doesn't love Elmo? Come on. I mean, Elmo's awesome.
Grover.
I had all the Elmo dolls for the kids, too. My God, we had Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, yeah, Tickle Me Elmo.
We had one of them.
It died pretty fast.
I just remember at Christmas time, you know, Santa went crazy looking for the THX, I think it was called.
Oh, no, we had the chicken dance Elmo.
Okay, this was the one, I don't know if you remember this one. This is the one that, like, fell down and it would, like, stand back up or something. I don't know. It was one of the biggest gifts of the holidays. It was, like, nearly impossible to get one. They were sold out everywhere.
That was probably the Tickle Me one. I think that was the first one that came out.
But, yeah, we got that. I remember my son Santa brought that for him, and that was quite a big deal, so... And we still have it to this day, and he still likes it, too. So.
And they also have great games, too, on the computer for the kids to play. I think they still have it for free. I don't even know. I mean, I know years ago when the kids were young, they had, if you go on PBS Kids or whatever, or I guess SesameStreet.com or something, they have all different games, easy games for like little kids, and even for, you know, autistic kids that might have a hard time with regular games. Some of these you can just do like by touching the keyboard. Even you don't even need the mouse skills.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of great stuff that, like I said, Sesame Street does and puts out there for a lot of families, and for so many generations, it's helped so many children learn and just be a part of their lives. I just have nothing but great.
It's amazing, too, when you read that these characters have been on there for so many years. Like, Maria was on there for, like, 40-something years.
She just retired. Yeah, amazing. She just retired. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. It's pretty amazing, because I see her, and I'm like, oh, my God, I remember her when I was a kid. And she's still on the show, and she doesn't look a day older than 25, you know?
And even, what was the little boy's name? I forgot his name already.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the names, but I do know, I remember Maria.
Everybody knows Maria.
There was Bob, I remember. And,
Big Bird, everybody, you know, I mean, it's the same guy playing Big Bird.
Yeah, yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if it's the same guy playing Grover.
I don't know. But it's pretty amazing how it's lasted all these years through time like that.
Yeah, it is.
But I want to also mention next week we have a topic, and we want to put this out there. We'd like to discuss the topic of puberty and how it's handled by children with autism. And we wanted to know, do you have a child who has gone through puberty recently or is going through it? Or if you have any questions or concerns, let us know. You can email us at questions@autismradio.org or call our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. You know, if there's anything that you've gone through or you have any advice that you'd like to share with other parents that may be helpful. And we're also going to be discussing some answers from professionals. So remember, we want you to be a part. So call in and be a part of the show. And again, that number is 1-877-HOPE-777. Or you can email us at questions@autismradio.org. So we're looking forward to that topic next week, Lynn. And hopefully we'll get some good calls in.
So, definitely a big topic. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes. But, that's all the time we have for this week, and we appreciate all the support as always. Without you, this show wouldn't be possible. We love all you guys on Hope Saves the Day, and hopefully continued supporting us in our efforts to help the autism community. And you can go to autismradio.org and make a donation today and make a difference in a child's life or help a family that's desperately in need. So we'll be continuing our journey and helping others. And we just want to wish everybody a great week, as always. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Escape on a vacation unlike anything you've ever imagined with one call to the experts at Cruise One Land and Cruise Travel. Prices have never been better. Mexico and the Caribbean are offering great vacation deals. Cruise lines have special promotional packages, and the cities of Europe are awaiting your arrival. Work with a travel agency that has your best interest in mind, all without any service fees. We are ready to arrange both your personal and business travel plans. Contact Cruise One Land and Cruise Travel today at 1-800-609-3012. That's 1-800-609-3012. Or visit justgreatvacations.com and get ready to discover the world.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me.